if we isolated one of those intangibles, let's say communication, because I know from a lot of the feedback we get from coaches, one of their big frustrations is, you know, their kids don't talk. You know, it's I think it's frustration when you're dealing as a coach with young kids right up to professional level. I've been in pro practice for many years, and coaches always say, my guys don't talk. What specifically can you offer up to coaches who are listening in that they could take away and help their kids with communication, let's say?
All right. Well, for under communication, you know, I guess one of the first things that I would say to coaches, and this is even speaking from my experience as a player, one of the things that's really frustrating as a player, and it's also, I think, as a result, becomes frustrating to coaches, most coaches tend to speak in what I call coach speak, which is just very vague terms that don't mean anything. And a great example of that is when a coach tells you, hey, you got to talk. Well, of course a player understands, like, if they understand English, they know what that means, but it doesn't really change their behavior because there's nothing specific enough in that to help them. If they knew how to talk and they knew what to say, they'd probably already be doing it. And so when we teach communication, particularly at our Think the Game course, what we try to teach athletes is not just, hey, you have to talk, but we try to teach them what to say and how to say it and when to say it, like put some of the specifics behind it. And then we also, you know, just about every high school player and most college players are just too quiet when they play. They don't talk enough. And a lot of times you hear players say, well, coach, that's just not my personality. I prefer to lead by example. But what I always like to tell athletes, particularly point guards, is, hey, if the only way you lead is by example, then you're a very poor leader. And there's a whole lot more you could be doing with your voice that would make your team a whole lot better and make your contribute a lot more to your team. And so I always tell point guards that their goal ought to be the best communicator every time they step on the floor. And then we follow that up with some specifics, like what does that mean? How do you be the best communicator on the floor? And it's simple things. You know, I tell players all the time that being special is just being able to do over and over again things that are very easy to do every once in a while. For example, just the simple habit of using names, using your teammates' names when you talk to them. You know, if you're trying to remind a big man to block out, especially in a crunch time situation, maybe it's the key possession of the game and there's 10 seconds on the clock and there's 10,000 people in the stands and you're playing on the road and you know you've got a post player that sometimes doesn't always block their man out and you know you need to remind him to block out on that particular play. If your habit is to just say, block out or block out Joe, well, maybe Joe hears that, maybe Joe doesn't. I mean, there's a lot going on for Joe in that moment. But just something as simple as if your habit is to say, Joe, block out, to use a name and then to give information as opposed to just, because a lot of times point guards tend to just do, I call it chatter. And I got to see the great Skip Prosser at Wake Forest at one of his practices, and he used the term that I liked. He talked about using meaningful talk when you're on the court. Don't just talk to be talking and don't just chatter and say ball, ball, ball and hey, 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 but give meaningful talk. You know, Joe, block out. Frank, watch the screen. Haley, block out or Haley, I'm coming to screen for you. To give meaningful talk. And so we actually put the athletes in situations where they have to do that. They have to do that, and they have to turn that into a habit. We talk about things like tone of voice. I mean, in the heat of the moment, a lot of times, it's not what you say, but how you say what you say that people respond to. And a lot of point guards in particular who are trying real hard to be a leader actually come across more as like drill sergeants, kind of bossing people around. And the effect of that is they actually turn people off, and they turn their teammates off, and they actually become a worse leader. So we talk about, you know, what does it mean to use good tone and to use praise and encouragement and how vital that is for the leader of a team. And then we talk about simple things like eye contact, which seems like a little thing, but, again, you ask any good coach, you know, what kind of kid is more fun to coach and what kind of kid is easier to coach? Is it a kid that is giving you good eye contact and is nodding their head when they understand what you're saying, or is it a kid that's always looking off into space or looking down at his shoes? You know, and this is not something that the typical teenager or even the typical college player, for that matter, is comfortable doing, and they're not habits. But at the same time, no one's really broken it down for them and told them that this is what it means to be a good communicator. And we talk a lot about reminders and how a good leader is always constantly given reminders to their teammates, and that reminders are only useful before they're needed. And so, you know, like I said, most players, the reason they don't talk a lot of times is just because they don't know what to say or how to say it. And I think coaches would be much more effective if they stopped using vague coach speak and started giving their athletes more specific behaviors that they want them to do. So that's just, you know, one example of the things we talk about under communication, and the things that, again, I think these are all things that great coaches already know, but they just don't have time to teach these things a lot of times. Whereas, you know, we have the benefit of having these guys for 5 full days. We get to give them about 52 hours of instruction over a period of about 5 days. So there's a lot we can cover, particularly because half of that time is in the classroom. And we can, you know, sit them down in a quiet, air-conditioned room and say things like that and give them the opportunity to write it down in their notebooks. And then all the drills and games and simulations that we then do in the gym are designed to reinforce all of those habits. So that's just, you know, one example of one of the intangibles that we teach at our program.
That's great, Dean. It helps. I wanted, as you like to do with all of us, hold our feet to the fire. I also wanted to reciprocate.
Oh, great.
We want to give some meat here. Hey, Lindsay's letting me know we've got a lot of good questions streaming in. So for those of you who are dialing in on the web, please do keep the questions coming. We're going to open it up for questions in a few minutes. But before we go there, Dina, you mentioned, you know, having spent some time watching Skip Prosser, and for years you traveled around the nation watching the top coaches coach, Coach Cage, Gino Arama, et cetera. It's a long laundry list, and our directors do the same year-round, are traveling and sitting in and watching the best coaches at all levels. What for you, for coaches out there who don't have the opportunity to get into those practices for whatever reason, but are looking to create a championship environment in their practices, what things stood out to you, either in terms of the environment itself, in terms of what specific athletes might have been doing, or what good coaches were doing to create that environment?
Wow, that's a really big question. With a lot,
you got 3 minutes to answer it, D.
You know, I think that, first of all, I just want to say every practice that I've been to, I've learned a ton. You know, all kinds of coaches, all kinds of teams at all levels. You know, I've never watched a coach run a practice and not learn something. There's a lot of great coaches out there at every level. And I think, you know, people sometimes get attached to, oh, you got to go see Coach K's practices. Oh, you got to go see Gino's practices. And that's true, and they are two of the best. They're definitely two of the very best that I've ever seen. But, man, there's a lot of great coaches at the high school level as well, and there's a lot of great teachers, and there's a lot of great coaches doing some really good things at the high school level as well. So, you know, I don't want to sort of set the perception that, you know, just because Coach K is at Duke and Gino's at UConn, that that's the reason that those practices are good. There's a lot of good practices at every level. But that being said, you know, I think all of the great practices that I've been to, or I should say, let me rephrase that. I think all of the practices that I've been to where it's teams and coaches that consistently turn out championship teams, and obviously Coach K and Gino are great examples of that at the D1 level, but it's also true at the high school level. I think one of the things that's consistent at those types of coaches' practices year after year after year, no matter what, how much talent they have or who they have on their team, one of the things that's consistent when you go watch one of those practices is You know, I say all the time that good teams practice with enthusiasm and zest, and bad teams practice with a lot of drudgery and monotony. And so one of the things you see at these sort of championship-level teams practices is you see a lot of spirit, you see a lot of energy, you see a lot of intensity, you see it's noisy in the gym. That's one of the things that I always notice at those practices. There's voices, and I'm not talking about voices coming from the coaching staff. I'm talking about the athletes. I'm talking about the players. They're bringing the energy and the enthusiasm and the energy, and you hear reminders and you hear encouragement. And, you know, one of the things that Dick would always say, he said, you know, a quiet gym is a losing gym, and good teams never allow their gyms to be quiet. And I actually heard Gino say at a practice one time, I went to one of his practices really early in the season. It may have even been the first week of the season, and he had a lot of freshmen on the team that year, and he actually stopped practice, and he said, you know what, if we don't have spirit, at least we'll have conditioning today. Meaning, if you guys don't bring energy and enthusiasm and noise today to practice, well, we'll get on the line and we'll get some conditioning in. And I think that's one of the things that I have found that's consistent at these sort of championship-level programs. There's just a level of energy that's demanded in their practices, and there's an intensity, and no one walks, and you know, someone dives on the floor for a loose ball, and it's like a race to see who can get over there the fastest and pick them up and chest bump them and give them a high five. And it's rare. And I think one of the things that players have to be reminded of is that coaches aren't necessarily conducive to spirited practices. You know, Coach K's practices and Gino's practices aren't noisy and enthusiastic and spirited because they're bringing it. A lot of times it's exactly the opposite. You know, I've seen both of those guys in practice be actually sometimes pretty negative, sometimes pretty hard on their players. But what I'd like to tell players is that if you let your coach's voice dominate your practices, you're probably always going to have very negative, low-energy practices because you can't always expect the coach to be positive. And in fact, I know I wouldn't want my coach to always be positive. I would want them to push us and point things out and to challenge us and to try to make us better. But players can always be positive. They can fill the air with encouragement, and they can alter a negative atmosphere just through their own voice if they have the energy and the willingness to do it. So anyway, I think that all of those teams or all of those programs, I should say, you know, just have the ability to bring that kind of spirit on a daily basis to every practice and to every drill. And that's something that I've seen that's pretty consistent. I mean, there's a number of other things as well. Obviously, it takes more than just spirit to be a championship team, but I don't think you can be a championship team without spirit or spirited practices. And I don't mean cheerleading. You know, it's not like, you know, being on the cheerleading team. That's not what I mean by spirit. What I mean by spirit and what I think we try to teach at Point Guard College around spirit, that it's an energy. It's a feel that you bring to your practices every single day, even on days, in fact, especially on days when you don't feel like it, when you're a little bit tired, or maybe it's late in the season, or maybe you lost the night before, or, you know, maybe you tweaked your ankle the night before, and you don't really feel like practicing that day. Well, players on championship teams find ways to bring spirit and energy and enthusiasm on those days anyway, and good coaches will demand it. And they won't tolerate their teams not bringing that kind of energy and enthusiasm. So as I said, that's a huge question. We could probably talk for hours about that question that you just asked. But that's one particular example that I've seen as pretty consistent.